later, but I just want to show where they, what they build their shitos off of. So one thing I already made reference of yesterday, most Rishonim like Tosos and Baba Basra and the Rush, they build their concept of the significance of Tfisa off the case of Nascha de Rabbi Abba. Very important case in Baba Metzia. Those who looked at it, where you have this general idea of someone who's holding an object, we assume that it's theirs. Okay. Tosfos here in Baba Metzia builds off the Gemara and Daf Gimel on the bottom of the Anan Sahadi. Doesn't mention Nascha de Rabbi Abba. And it's understandable because he's not just saying that something people hold, we assume is theirs. It's when two people are holding something together, we assume it's half of one and half of the other. And that's why it makes sense that he's going to build off that. The more complex thing that we want to talk about is how the different Rishonim understood the Gemara on Daf Gimel. And this is the kind of thing that I assume guys don't notice because it has to do with the guts of a sugya. The Gemara there suggests that maybe our Mishnah is against Rav Yossi. Let's take a look at both the Kasha and the Teretz of the Gemara. Lema Sisan Delik Rav Yossi, the Ikar Rav Yossi Ha'amar Im Kain Ma Hifsid Ramai, Ela Kol Yehemuna Chachiyavo Eliyahu, Ela Mai Rabbanon, Kevan Da'ami Rabbanon Asher Yehemuna Chachiyavo Eliyahu, Hai Nami Kisher Dami, Disfekahi. The Gemara says, Hai Mai, Yamar Bishlam Rabbanon, Hosam Devadai Hai Mona de Chadminayahu, Amri Rabbanon Yehemuna Chachiyavo Eliyahu, So let's look at the kasha and the teretz of the Gemara. What was the kasha of the Gemara? Le masisi de lo krav yosi. Now there's two ways you could understand this kasha. Our Mishnah should have said yehi munach, or Rav Yossi should have said yachloku. What would the Gemara have wanted? Most of us just say the Gemara wanted that the two should be the same. Okay, said there, but which way were they suggesting? So most Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rit for the Tosfos, Rosh Tosfos, and Baba Basra, most Rishonim say that what the Gemara means is that the Mishnah here should have said Yehi Munach. Who disagrees and understands the Kasha of the Gemara differently? You guessed it, Tosfos and Baba Metzia. Tosfos and Baba Metzia, Beis Amud Aleph, says like this, V'chein b'man shlishi, Dimidami b'Gemara l'talis, Chashiv hahu shanifka tofis because of shneim kilo atim musakabo. Lekach mashani vade de chad minayahu. Ve'ena chaluki yocholios emes. Ulekach yehe munach. Meaning the Gemara's teretz was explaining why we say yehe munach there. The Gemara's kasha was we should have said yachloku by manashlishi. As opposed to all the other Rishonim who understood that the kasha was we should have said yehe munach in our Mishnah. Tosfos and Baba Metzia understands that the kasha was that we should have said yachloku by Mana Shlishi. And why? Makes all the sense in the world. According to Tosfos, the psak of yachloku is a real psak that we believe in. And therefore, we should have applied it to Mana Shlishi too, if we see it as tfisa. According to the other Rishonim, Tosfos Rush, the Ramban, yachloku is not a real psak. It's just that we can't say kol da'alim gvar. So it's understandable that we would rather say Yehi Munach by us than Yachloku there. And let's read it inside in the words of the Ramban. Let's read it inside. In the Ramban, number 3, Tfisa, page 5. V'yikashi lecha, ihachi, heichi akshina b'gemar lehi masnisa d'loka Rabbi Yossi, dikasalka daitach lememer b'masnisa Yehi Munach ad sheyavo Eliyahu, ki hahi d'shnaim shefki d'way tzalechot. We want to say here Yehi Munach. Dil masnis and shani, the kevin the tatsi lomaskinamina, shekashem shayin motsim yadam lomar called the other gvar, kachin motsim yadam lomar ye munach. The Ramban is using his logic, right, to explain the kasha of the Gemara. Just like ain motsim yadam to say called the other gvar, kachin motsim yadam lomar ye munach. And now he explains the teretz of the Gemara. We see this difference between Tosfos and Baba Metzia and the other Rishonim regarding the teretz of the Gemara as well. Regarding the teretz of the Gemara as well. Right? The teretz of the Gemara is Hasan Devada Hai Mana de Chad Minayahu, etc., etc. When is it Chad Mana de Chad Minayahu? What's Pashup Shat Rav Rishonim say? It was Chad Minayahu when the two of them gave it to the third guy. Right? When the two people were maskid, one gave 100, one gave 200, right? So the one mana was of one person when they were maskid. That's a pashup shot. But if you read Tosfos carefully, when he explains the teretz of the Gemara, he feels the need to go even further. Let's continue reading. Right, avotalos the ikal amemet the tarvayu hu yachloku v'chein shnayim adukim b'shtar the medami lekam lemasnisim mishum the shnayim adukim bo the chaluka yecholal yot emet. Right, he's explaining the Gemara. The efshus shapar lo achetzi uve'mana shlishi ein derech sheyikne bo achetzi acharei shehu biyad chaveru. There's no way that Reuven can be makne half the mana to Shimon when it's in the hands of Levi. Tosis understood that the davadai chad minayu is not just what was when they were mafkid. It's what is even after they were mafkid. Why does Tosis explain it that way? Because Tosis understands that once there is a situation of two people who are both toface, even if it comes about later, we have to say achloko. If at any stage, even a later stage, it could be both of theirs, we view it as tvisa of the two of them, even if it happened later. It's definitely not true, because when they gave it over, it was the chad minayu. But if it happens later that the two of them are being tovis through a third party, we have to say achloko. Wow. Or in other words, what is the level of counterproof necessary in order to stop the chaluka, in order to not say yachloku? According to the Rush, it's enough that we know that when they were masketed, it was one of theirs. According to Tosis, you need more to stop yachloku. So this is just, you know, showing the differences between the Rishonim and the reading of the sugya, which is obviously important for people like us who value reading the sugya, right? Any questions about that? Yes, Jonathan.
Isn't that line in Tosos addressing the fact that the fact that he just said by the boat, you might have thought that in the case of Mani Shushi, maybe he transferred the money when it was already in the third guy's hand?
That's exactly what Tosos is saying. But the point I'm trying to say is Tosos is talking about whether it could be one of theirs or two of theirs at a later stage, once it's in the hand of the third guy, as opposed to the other Rishonim who think the only moment that matters is the moment of the Hafkada, which makes all the sense in the world, right? Because it's whose is it really? Tosis doesn't care whose it was really. He cares about what's being nitfas now. So now I want to speak a little bit about the conceptual basis of this machlokas. Why did the rest of the Rishonim not say like Tosfos? It's a Gemara Nav Gimel, Anan Sadi. Each of them have half. The others don't see it as, you know, muchzakus. You could say that they hold that each of them are muchzak on the whole thing, right? It's not half and half. Each of them are muchzak on the whole thing. And therefore, you don't have an anansari of half and half. I think you can say something different, though. I think you can say that here we don't just look at the muchzakus of half and half, like I just said, because each one of them we see as the muchzak on the whole thing. Right? That's the first thing you can say. But you can also say something else. That we're not just looking at the muchzakus. We also look at what? What other factor is there here? Again, we have the muchzakus, but we also have the claims, right? We also have the claims made by the two people. And both sides are saying kulashali. So even if we say that in a situation where nobody made a claim and both people were holding on to it, we would view each of them as muchzak on half. Even if we said that in that case. In this situation, where they're each claiming ownership over the whole thing, we don't view the muchzakas that way. We view them as muchzak on the whole thing. Or in other words, there's two ways to explain why most Rishonim don't say like Tosis. Either because objectively they see each one as muchzak on the whole thing, or because the Tanos cause us to look at the two of them as muchzak on the whole thing. In any case, whichever way we explain it, we can now understand very well the difference between how the Tosos Rush and Tosos explain the relationship between our Mishnah and the Perek before. The question we started with on Sunday. The Tosos Rush says, Our Mishnah is a continuation of the last Mishnah in Baba Kama. In what way?
Zewa.
They attempt to steal. Steal? Yeah. Each one is muchzak on the whole thing. And they're trying to take it out away from each other. Tosfos, though, said it's like the last Mishnah in that we're dealing with Chalukah. There's no Zela here. There's two people who have ownership. We view each of them as owners of half. And we have to divide it. Just like we have to divide in the last Mishnah. It's another case of Chalukah. There's no Zela going on here. Is it by chance, Mr. Edinger, that the Rush and Tosfos explain the relationship between our Mishnah and the Perek before as being the difference between Gezel and Chalukah? Maybe it's by chance. Now, to be fair, now I want to blur the lines a little bit. Within Tosfos, there is a certain amount of hesitation. There is a certain amount of hesitation. You see it already in the Tosfos we've been discussing, which word do you see the hesitation in Tosfos on? Hesitation or hedging or not saying it 100%. No?
Kilu.
Kilu. Kilu. Now you could say the kilu just means, you know, they're both holding both of it. So, you know, it's kilu. But kilu, it means kilu. And this conversation in Tosfos about the exact status continues in later Tosim on our Amud and Tosim on Amud Beis. Let me talk about both. First of all, Tosfos Maskel v'Divrei Maskel v'Zeh, which is something we're going to come back to, is talking about the second case in the Mishnah, right? Zeh Omer Kula Sheli, Zeh Omer Chetzi Sheli. This one gets 3/4, this one gets 1/4. Tosfos says, V'im Tomer, Yehi Ne'eman D'Chetzi Shelo Migu D'Yibay Yom Kula Sheli, should have a Migu. This is obviously a major question that the Rishonim discuss, and whether the Migu should apply here, shouldn't apply here. U'mifarish Rivam, Tosfos quotes the Rivam. And again, this could be the Rivam. Tosfos before may not be the Rivam. Okay, so there's Tosfos, and now the Rivam. Rivam says, the Migu L'Hotzi Lo Amrinan. Right? They're both muchzak. They're both muchzak. Muchzak zeh kemoze. The Chidushi Aran, we'll see tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, explains this shita, that migul hoti lo aminan, because they're both muchzak, shava b'shava, equal, equal. So the Rivam may be different than the Tosis right before. And just to talk about a third Tosfos on that days, and again, we're going to get to these Tosfos in themselves more of the Iyun. Tosfos Divrei Maskel Hecha on Beis Amid Beis is explaining what Jerora de Mamona is. You remember the Chilik and the Gemara on bottom of Beis Amid Beis that, you know, our Mishnah is Leka Jerora de Mamona and Sumchus is Ika Jerora de Mamona. So there's a different explanation. What does Jerora de Mamona mean? Tosfos says here, Hekdika Jerora de Mamona, Pirish, Shebelo Tanos Seyem, Yesh Safik LeBezdin. Without the Tanos, Bezdin has an objective suffix. Without the Tania, the Tanos, right? That's Drora de Mamona. Our case is Leka Drora de Mamona, meaning Bezdin has no suffix before the Tanios are given. No suffix. No suffix. Yachloku is a case where we have no suffix. This reminds us of Tosfos Divrei Maskel Yachloku. We believe in it. We believe in it. So again, we could say what we said before. Objectively, without their Tanos, we have no suffix. Their Tanios generate a suffix because they're each saying Kula Shalir. That's the tension we were speaking about before, and that's indeed how the Tosar Binu Peretz explains Leka Dror de Mamon in our Mishnah. We'll get back to this when we get there in Mir Tosha. So within Tosfos, you know, there's different things going on. What's the situation objectively? What's the situation with their Tana? I want to contrast this with Rabbeinu Hananel as quoted by the Rashba. Let's take a look. Rabbeinu Hananel quoted by the Rashba. Rashba Divra Maskel Hai Mai. Right? Hai Mai. He's quoting Rabbeinu Hananel. And he says, V'nerili de kasalka datoch, de maksha, de masnisen nami, my de tofes hai di day, u my de tofes hai di dehu, u ki'ilu nechleka kfar. It's as if it's already been divided up. Well, that's them's fighting words. And the truth is, as we're going to see in Yirtz Hashem tomorrow, the Rashba, according to those who hold it's about Tfisa, the Rashba himself, as we saw yesterday, quotes a different approach, right? But according to those that it's about Tfisa, The Rashba holds that Tfisa is very significant. You see it in his formulation here of Rabbi Nochanana. And we'll talk about that more in Mir Tashem tomorrow. So to summarize, we're going to do one more point, but to summarize the first part of the shir, when we ask about the significance of Tfisa, we spoke yesterday about two possibilities. Tfisa keeps you from saying Kol Di'alim Gvar, or Tfisa pushes you to say Yachloku. Within each of these options, I'm just sending out a picture of my summary sheet to the Shia WhatsApp group. Within each of these options, I just sent it out, right? We saw two sub-options, right? It stops Kol De'olim Gvar because we're not allowed to take it away, or it stopped, that's the Ramban and Tosrit. It stops Kol De'olim Gvar because we believe it's his on some level, the Rush and Tosus Baba Basra. This is what confuses some people about the relationship between the Rush and Tosus above Metzia, because both of them are talking about a basis of Bailus, even though they're talking about it differently. So we had some people in the Shia who were confused about this point, right? Or Tfisa can push Yachloku now on two levels. Ki'ilu yesh l'kol echad chetzi, or kinechlak legamre. The formulation of the Rashba, kinechlak legamre. Okay, questions, and then we're going to get on to the last part of the topic, which we'll begin today and continue tomorrow, about the implications, the halacha, of the different ways of saying Tfisa. Today we really spoke about it more, the guts of the sugya and the concept. Now we want to start talking about tachlis, how this impacts, you know, the way Tfisa works in generating achloku lemaisa. Okay, let's talk about one example today, and I'll give an introduction to what the other examples are going to be tomorrow, so people can have the meaningful learning of this thing. If you look at the Makorah sheet here, we're starting basically Os Dalid now. We're going to do Dalid 1. Tomorrow, Mir Tashem will do Dalid 2, 3, 4, as much as possible. And on Thursday, Mir Tashem will talk about the possibility that there are different tracks of Tfisa. That maybe Tfisa works differently in different kinds of circumstances, which is very reasonable and understandable. Okay. What level of Tfisa is needed in order to say Achlok? Now again, the more Yachloku requires a strong base, right? So then we're going to need more. The more it's just a way of stopping, you know, the ability to say Kol De'olim Gvar, you know, you could get by with less. And an excellent example of this is the sheet of the Rambam that I believe finds expression also in a different way in the sheet of the Tosas Rid. But let's begin with the Rambam himself. Perek Tes Halacha Zayin. The Rambam is quoting our Mishnah. Shnayim Shoyu Ochsin B'Kli Echad O Shoyu Rochven Agabi B'Hema Achatz. O shaya echad rocha ve'echad manhig, o yoshvin bitzad arema shel chitin, umuneches v'simto v'chatzah shel shneim, zerem rakol sheli v'zerem rakol sheli, kol echad mishneim nishba v'nikit askefet she'en lo b'zeh adover pach mi'chetzio v'yachloku. Okay. The Rambam starts with our Mishnah, talks about ochzin, but then he adds a case which doesn't sound like ochzin at all. Yoshvin bitzad arema, two people are sitting next to a pile of wheat. That goes my monios, based on this, right? Rami Rotenberg. Mitoch l'shonu nira. Dato kiritzpa, that's the Riva. Yitzchak was his name. Shapirish delav davka ochsin. Udelo kirashi v'karabinu tam shapirishu davka ochsin. Remember I mentioned yesterday that that goes my monios understands, right, John? That Rashi held that you need davka ochsin. Fine. Okay, right now we're talking about the Rambam. That goes my monios says, the Rambam doesn't require Tvisa. Okay. But he mentions Tvisa. You could say, all right, he mentioned it because that's the case in the Mishnah. He doesn't require Tfisa. The Torah, in any case, building off the Rambam, interprets it differently. Kasev Rambam, right? Kasev Rambam, Shnayim Ochsin Bekli, Shinsad Arema Shalchitin, Kadokul Shali, etc. He quotes the whole case, right? He says, Efshar Sharatzalom, Rekem Shemenachs Besimta, Shumakam Aroi Liknos, Vishneim Yoshim Betzida, Chashiv Kilu Shneim Muchzakim Ba. They're sitting in a place, we could say they're sitting in a place where you could be Kone. When you're sitting next to it, we view it as Tfisa. Huh? Was there a Kenyan? The Bach says about the tour. My nafkamina ba mashayu yoshim betzida. Hello, Rambam pasuk lahedja b'sof perik based in the darim da about the hefker lo kani. You're not kona by looking at it, and the Rambam doesn't mention that anything more than that happened. So what's pshat? I think the explanation could be that in order to say achloku according to the Rambam, you don't need actual Tfisa. I mean, you know, that seems to be obvious, right? You need some basis in Mitzias for seeing you as shayach to this object. Tfisa is a way of giving us reason to believe that the object is shayach to you. Shayach, it's a good Yiddish word, shayach. This couldn't be the basis for Tosos and Baba Mitzia type yachloku. Could it be enough to stop saying kol de'olam gvar? Maybe. We're not going to allow one person to take an object we have reason to believe has shayches to somebody else. The sheet of the Rambam is very strong in being very weak in what you need in order for to say yachloku. And from here, I want to go to the Tosos Rid. The Tosos Rid is discussing Drora de Mamona. Right? Drora de Mamona. The Gemara in Baba Basra says it's Drora de Mamona by the case of Machlich Shifcha, right? You had the Shifcha that was traded, or Machlich Parah B'chamor, and the baby was born at some point. So what's Pshat? He says like this. Hasam HaShifcha Rishus Shneim Sholta Aleha She Yitziyase Me Rishus HaMocher V'nichnasa L'Rishus HaLokech V'nistapachnu B'Rishus Mi Yolda V'damyo Ki'ilu Shneim Ochzim Ba. It's like both of them are Ochez in the Shifcha because the Shifcha at some point was in both of their Rishuyos. Now it's not. Now it's only in one of their Rishuyos. But it was in the other one's Rishus before. And that's like Tfisa. Huh? Really? One person is holding it now. It's not Shnei Mochsen. But we have reason to believe. Each side has a basis in Mitzias for their claim. They had it in their Rishus at some point. And again, I think this is understandable according to those Shitos who require minimal basis in order for it to be considered Tfisa. Tomorrow, in Yirtzeh Hashem, we're going to discuss more halachic implications of this question. First of all, we're going to talk about what happens when there are other factors involved. Let's say there are other proofs, like Migu, Cheskes Marakama, Bari Vishema. Let's say there are other considerations, like Vadai Ramai. To what extent will these factors override the factors causing us to say Yachloku? Okay, the sender. Depends how strong a base your Yachloku has, right? And the second issue we'll talk about is the role of the Shavua. Let's ask it this way. To what extent do we need the Shavua as a basis or a support for saying Yachloku? Meaning, if Yachloku has a strong base, then assumably you don't need the Shavua to support Yachloku. But if it's a weak base, we can understand why we might need the Shavua to support saying Yachloku. So tomorrow, number one, we'll probably, if you guys finish all of it, maybe we'll delay the issue of Shavua to Thursday, depending on how much you guys get done tomorrow, right? But that's the next segment, right? We started talking about the segment already. You know, the halachic implications. The first is, what level of tefisa do you need? The second is, how significant are other factors? And the third is, how you understand the Shavua. And as I mentioned, what we'll definitely do on Thursday, Yirtzeh Hashem, is talk about the different tracks of tefisa, you know, in different kinds of cases. You know, here we have a few makoros, interesting makoros, especially from the Chachmei Provence, like the Meiri and the Hashlama. Okay, any questions? All right, the Seder Gamur. So I wish everyone a wonderful day, and everyone should have continued meaningful learning, and looking forward to being off the Zoom. B'sha Taiva. Mutzlachas. All right. Have a great day.